Wonderful book, divine. Yes. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you came. I was expecting a lot less folks this morning, but I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be able to open the Bible, come to church, and pray, talk to God, and man, ask the Lord to use us. My life has been a whirlwind the past few weeks, man. I've just been feel like I've been in a whirlwind. Three, past couple months, I had a preacher up in Philadelphia die, a good friend of mine, helped me, disciple me when I first got saved. And then Brother John Garner died. He was hit by a car. They drug him off and put him in the parking lot. After they hit him in the parking lot, they severed his spinal cord. And whoever it was that hit him got out of the car and drug him and put him out behind the trash cans. And he was dead. And then I got a call Friday. We went to New York. We went to Staten Island. And Brother David Spurgeon, this guy right here, he was used to be, the reason why he's asking for a pardon, he's been, I didn't realize it's been 25 years since we've had him here. And he's asking the president and the U.S. Department of Justice for a pardon. He was in the outlaw motorcycle gang, and he got saved in prison and jail. And they let him, when he came here, they let him do community service all over this country. So I had him come here, and he told the story the other night. He said he was introduced to Brother Ryman. He said when he came to his church, I had a cop come through the door and arrest him in the middle of service. He was doing community service, and he was arrested. He's got a book out, and but it's a blessing that he's still going. He's 30-some years now out. He said the other night 28 years. And he's asking for a presidential pardon for his record to get it cleared. And y'all pray for me. We got these cards here. One of them goes to the Justice Department. One goes to the president. And I'm sure if Ryan goes up tonight and sees him again, maybe they can get some more. I can get Mike Veach to send us some and make them. You can sign them and send them in. He's been serving the Lord all these years and traveling around this country from California back to the East Coast, to the West Coast, crisscrossing the country, preaching, going to schools, prisons, and everything else, preaching and telling people how to get saved. And he's a blessing. He's a real blessing. And he's been going on serving God, not quitting. So I appreciate that. And like I said, we need to have him here. We've had so many different preachers come through, and I can't believe it's been 25 years since he's been here. So we need to have him here soon, Lord willing. Numbers chapter 13. If you're visiting with us today, I'm glad you're here. I preached over at the Vision School for Brother Charlie Clark on Thursday. That's where Jacob and Earl go to school there. Got a good school, so it was a blessing to go over there and preach to them. And I had a good time sitting around Brother Charlie and just talking about the old times, talking about the old days. Amen. It's good to old men get around and talk about old days and talk about the good days. Amen. And Numbers chapter 13, you said, what we got here? Numbers chapter 13, you got the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and God tells them to go into the promised land. And they, you know, God did all these great miracles in Egypt. And there's God did signs and wonders in Israel. And I mean, in Egypt, he killed the firstborn, even Pharaoh's son. He said, all the firstborn are going to die. And he said, if you don't want to die, put blood on the doorpost. And Pharaoh said, that stuff. I ain't going to do that stuff. I don't believe that Jewish fable stuff. He said, I don't believe that. So the Jews in Goshen, they put blood, they sacrificed a lamb, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and that represented the cross, Jesus Christ going to the cross. And if the Egyptians did it, their children wouldn't have died. But they said, no, we ain't going to believe that Jewish fable stuff. We ain't going to believe all that stuff. So they didn't do it, and their children died. Firstborn died. But God did all kinds of plagues against Egypt. And finally, after the firstborn died, Pharaoh said, get out, get out. And he run them out. He run them out of the, and then he changed his mind. And you all know the story. I love that story, and it's a true story. And I've told you many times here. I remember watching the Ten Commandments. It gives you a good kind of insight of what happened. And but in Charleston Heston being Moses, and I said, if I ever got to heaven and Charleston Heston wasn't Moses, I'd be disappointed. But That thing stirs me up every time I watch it. I start shouting over that. I get shouting when God opened that Red Sea up. And I was just watching a documentary the other day, and the world, the way they look at it, they said, well, Moses and the children of Israel really didn't go through the deep Red Sea. They went through the marshy land. That's where they went through. So then they showed the water was there, and then they showed it all dried up, and they went across in the marshy land. And that wasn't so. That's not what the Bible says. And Brother Glenn Stocker said he went to Egypt and went down to a place to where a million people could cross over at one time, and God had opened that thing up at least a mile wide or more. And he said they found, not in the marshy area up north, it was in the middle of the Red Sea, and they found chariot wheels, they found chariots, they found all those things right there. And the Bible says they went on dry ground. But before that, Pharaoh got to them. The Bible says the Lord sent a cloud and separated the children of Israel until he opened up the Red Sea. And he stopped Pharaoh and all his army. The Bible says he had 600 chariots plus troops on the ground. So he had hundreds of thousands of men. And they were going after Israel to kill them all. And God stopped them. He put a fiery cloud at night and then a cloud by day. They couldn't see each other. And then the Bible says God looked through the cloud at them. Man, can you imagine looking up there and a face comes through there and looks at you? Wow. And you say, oh, man, that's just fairy tale. No, that's Bible, man. That's what really happened. And the Bible says that God brought them all the way from Egypt, all the way through the promised land, and he takes them through the wilderness, and then he gets them to the place where he says, all right, go in and check out Canaan land. Go check it out. And they spied it out. And y'all know the story that 10 came back. He sent 12 men, and 10 came back and said, we can't do it. No way. There's no way. But Caleb and Joshua, both of those men said, yes, sir, we can do it. God's with us. We're able. We know what God did in Egypt. We know how he brought us out. We know all the miracles that he did. So we can go. We can do it, man. We can do it. And the Bible says the children of Israel started crying. And they listened to the 10 rather than the 2. And they listened to those 10 men. And it caused God's anger to come. Now look here. Here's where we're at. Look in Numbers chapter 13. And the Bible says in verse 24. And it says, and the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from hence. And they returned from searching out the land for 40 days. 40 days, God says, they went in and searched the land for 40 days. They went throughout Canaan land. They came back. They said, my, man, there's all kinds of great things. God promised this land to us. He said, look at the cluster of grapes. Look at this stuff. They brought back grapes on a branch, and they brought it all back. And, man, they were coming back. And they were telling about all, but they said, but there's one problem. There's giants in the land. There's giants there, and there's no way we can take them on. No way we can whoop them. Now look on down. Look at verse 26. And when they came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, they said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. It is the fruit. This is the fruit of it. I mean, they sang a song. They sang a song when they came out of Egypt, and God delivered them. In Exodus chapter 15, you find them singing a song, how God is great and how God delivered them. And man, and then the next thing you know, they're complaining and arguing, and they're upset with God again. I mean, that's, you know, you say, what is this? It's a type of, the Bible says the Old Testament was an example for us. It was an example for the things that we go through. And what it is, it shows how we are. I mean, God can bless us. We can get, I mean, God can deliver us. But man, just one chapter later, they're out there arguing, saying, God can't do this. God can't do that. And they've discussed it with the Lord. And the Lord's anger got mad at them. He got mad. And even in Egypt, he got mad because they wouldn't listen. And here we are in 2019. You got Christians that get saved, call on God to save them, and call on God to deliver them from hell and save their soul. And then they get to a place and they think, God can't do do this. God can't do that. God can't do this. God can't do that. And they start saying, God cannot deliver us. God cannot help us. God cannot do the things. So we take it in our own hands, our own life, and we try to do it ourselves and make a mess out of it. And that's what the children of Israel, they came back, those 10 spies, and said, oh, man, it's just like Moses said, just like God said. It's exactly what it is. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but we can't take it. We can't do it. Look what the Bible says. And it says, nevertheless, in verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. They were talking about Jericho. They were talking about Jericho. You know, in your Bible, you read what Joshua did to Jericho. And they said, man, the city's great and they're walled. And he says, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. Caleb was a great man. I mean, you find Caleb going into the promised land. He's one of the only ones, and him and Joshua, out of their generation, out of their generation, they're the only ones that went into the promised land. And when their generation saw the miracles of God, their generation saw all that God did to the Egyptians. He wiped out the greatest army ever known at that time. Amen. The greatest army the world has ever known. I mean, people feared Egypt. They feared that army. And God wiped them out with nature. He wiped them out with water. He wiped them out. I mean, he wiped them out with the animals. He wiped them out with locusts. He wiped out their crops. He did all that. And you say, is that a miracle? That's a miracle, man. God, you know what God has, you know, you read your Bible in the tribulation, God's going to wipe out things just with nature. Just with nature. Things are going to get wiped out with nature. And he was going to do it again. He's going to do it again. So in Exodus, Numbers chapter 13, look on down. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And he talks about the Hittites, Amorites, and Jebusites. And Caleb stilled the people, verse 30, and before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Let us take it. Let us do it. Let's stop sitting around here talking about what we can't do. We've seen what God did. Let's go now. Let's go do it now. Let's stop talking about it. Everybody wants to sit around and talk about things. They want to sit around, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? I mean, we prayed about it. God's already gave them. He already gave the specifications. He already gave all the layout. He said, go in, possess the land. The Bible says they went 40 days in that land. They were looking around. And you know what? It cost them. When they said, no, we can't, it cost them 40 days. One day for a year. It cost them 40 years. Because they said, we can. And now look on down. It says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. We're able. You know that Bible tells us in the New Testament that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us? I mean, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, we're more than conquerors, man. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. I mean, people say, I can't overcome this. I can't quit this. I can't give up this. I can't, man, God can't help me with this. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says you're able by the grace of God. You're able by his strength. I mean, you're in your own flesh, you're not able to do those things that's what God wants you to do. But by his power, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. I mean, you can give up a lot of things in your life through Christ that strengthen me. You can do a lot of things in life that through Christ would strengthen me if you just let him have his way. And Caleb was the kind of guy, he was the man saying, look, I'm tired of playing around. I'm tired of messing around with this mess. Let's go in. We saw the land. We know what God promised. We know what we can do. Let's go do it. Amen. And all the people sitting around and saying, no, ain't no way possible. Ain't no way we can do this. Sound like a church service. Amen. It sounded like a church. It sounded like a business meeting at times where people say, oh, ain't no way we can do this. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says we're able. Amen. We're more than able. Now, look on down. Look at verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and Hittites. And going down to verse 30, Caleb stilled the people. And Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. And the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though which we have gone through It says to search it, the land is that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. You say, man, the Bible says these men said we saw giants there. You said, was the giants ever existed? Yes, they have. Giants have existed. They have walked on this earth. And they were giants. You said, the Bible says they were like the highest oak trees. And can you imagine walking into a land and walking by and look up and see this giant walking by? You go, my God. And these men were saying, well, ain't no way we can take them on. There's no way. And I mean, there's this impossible. This thing is impossible with us. But Caleb said, let's go up at once. We know we can do it. And they end up doing it after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They end up taking the land. They end up possessing the land. But they had to kill some giants. They had to go take on some giants. I mean, there's no way around it. You're going to have to take on the giants in your life. And there's some giants that come up in your life, and you say, ain't no way I can do it. I'll tell you what, they're just too hard, too strong. I'm going to tell you something, don't wimp out. Don't cower down and say we can't do it, because the Bible says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and died for us. Amen? We're able to overcome things in our life. I mean, when I got saved, there was a lot of things I had to overcome. There's a lot of things like David Spurgeon. There's a lot of things we had to overcome in life. And the more junk as you live in this life, the more junk you accumulate in your life. I'm talking about wickedness and filthiness and stuff that you look at, the stuff you hear, you got to overcome those things. And the Bible says we're able to overcome those things. We're able to do those things that God requires of us. But that time, then when the children of Israel started complaining, and look at verse chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept all night long. Why? Because those 10 men, those 10 men came back and said, no way possible. Here's Caleb and Joshua pacing back and forth saying, we can do it. God didn't bring us here to stop. God didn't bring us here to quit. He didn't save us out of Egypt and brought us across the Red Sea. You saw the miracles. You saw what he did. I mean, you saw the miracles of God. You saw the blessings of God. You seen what he did to Pharaoh's army, the greatest army in the world. What's the matter with you all? Amen. What's the matter with you? Why do you think you can't do it? Why do you think you can't overcome? God's able to overcome these things. Amen. Through us. I can see Caleb and I can see Joshua saying, what is the matter with this crowd? What is the matter? And they start weeping because those 10 men. Let me ask you something. What are you doing to encourage the brethren? Amen. What are you doing, sister, to encourage the sisters of God that live for God? I mean, I told my wife this morning, Michelle out there in California, I've known her when they got married, him, Dave and his wife. I said, she has to wake up this morning knowing that her husband, she'll never see him again, but on the other side. There's Brother John Garner's wife. I mean, you know what? Those women are strong women. They love God. They're going to keep on going. They're going to keep serving God. And I told my wife, I said, we need to pray for them this morning. Here they are used to their husbands being in the pulpit preaching. They're used to their husband being at the church and being with him. And they're waking up this morning. There is no husband with them. My God, man. Caleb said, we're able. We're able. And the children, those other 10 said, no, we're not. Look what the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 2. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And the whole congregation said on them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Man, right now they're provoking the Lord. Right now they're saying, they're telling God, you're not able to do anything for us. Now, I mean, here, they're arguing with Moses. They're arguing with Aaron. They're arguing with Joshua, Caleb. They're arguing with those men that said, hey, God brought us here. He brought us here to bring us in. That's what he did. Man, I'm looking forward to the Lord to keep on doing things in our lives, in our church. I want to see our young people go on for God.
Amen.
You know what the Lord did? He ends up getting mad. I ain't got time to tell you the whole story. He ends up getting mad and says, I tell you what, 40 years y'all going to wander. And the Bible says they went up and tried to take the land after God rebuked them. And God said, I ain't going to be with you. And men, some of them died for it. They died in battle. And God said, I ain't going to be with you. He said, you're going to wander for 40 years. For every day that you came back, you spied that land, you're going to wander for a year for them days. And for 40 years, they wandered. Can you imagine Caleb and Jacob? I mean, Joshua? Can you imagine them? They had to go through it with the children of Israel. And they watched their generation die off. Yeah. and bury them. I've said this. I've been going to a lot of funerals. I've been doing a lot of funerals. I'm watching my generation dying off. But the next generation, God says, I'll use them. I'll use the next generation. They'll come in, and I'll take them in the land. But they better beware. Amen. They better beware. God dealt pretty stiff with them. The next generation. You know what some of you all are? You're sitting here this morning. You're the next generation. You better beware. You better beware. And then you got the generation behind that. I got my children here, and then my grandchildren. Got two generations there, three generations sitting here. God said, you better beware. Better beware. And that children of Israel, they wept and cried. And look what verse 3 says. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up in this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? They were saying, God, you did wrong. You did us wrong. You did us wrong by what you did. And man, I'll tell you what, you're in a dangerous spot in your life when you start blaming God for your problems. Amen. You say, well, I don't blame God, but in the way you act and the way you live, you blame him. Amen. I'll tell you what, you know, people like to, they like to have pity parties. They like to sit around, woe is me, and all that stuff, and sit around and they want to blame somebody else for their problem. And there's some people sitting right here right now, you're blaming somebody else for your problems. When nobody stopped you from loving God. Nobody stops you. Nobody can get between you and God. Amen. Ain't nobody can do that. You say, well, my children, my husband, my wife, my friends, they got in between me. No, nobody did that. It was you that allowed that to happen. Amen. You didn't. I mean, you can't let nobody come between you and the Lord. When I first got saved with the church, I thought they were all angels. Over 2,000 people in the church. I thought, man, they were all angels. And I thought, man, this is the greatest thing I've ever been around. And then I got around them for a while, and I found out there were some devils in there, too. Yeah. Some devils working in there. I mean, there were some devils and people that they would say one thing, they do another. Yeah, right. I was driving a trash truck, and I've told you that I've seen people out doing stuff, going to the bars and drinking and carrying on, smoking and dope and all that stuff. And man, I tell you what, I said, man, I got delivered from that stuff. I am not going back to that mess. I got delivered from that. I'm going to live for God, man. My wife and I got married at 19. I'd never recommend anybody getting married at 19. We got married at 19. We said, I'm going to live for God. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to live for God with you. And we made up our mind. We're going to live for God. We're going to go forward. We weren't going to die in the wilderness, man. We weren't going to be like the rest of them that just say, oh, I love God, and never go forward in their life. Yeah. Never make an effort. Never go after. You say, is it hard? Yeah, it's hard at times. It's hard to live for God at times. You just got to go on. You make up your mind. Amen. You make up your mind. I'm going to serve God. I made up my mind. I mean, years ago, made up my mind. People say, well, it's just raining outside. I don't know if I can go to church. Oh, quit crying. Quit your whining. Take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson, till you quit your whining and stop your complaining. What people do, they like to blame everybody else for the problem. But eventually it goes back to God. See, the Bible says they were blaming Moses. Here, Moses was the greatest man in their life come along. Here, God said, Moses didn't want to do it. Moses didn't want to go down to Egypt. He didn't want to go down there and tell the children of Israel. He said, God told me to come down here and deliver y'all. Yeah. And then he tried to do it earlier. 40 years before that, think 40. 40 years before that, you said, what is 40? 40 is a number of testing. He tried it 40 years ago, and he killed an Egyptian and all kinds of stuff down there, and he had to run for his life. He tried it his way. And then finally he said, all right, God ain't going to do nothing. And then the Bible says he kept looking up that mountain and seeing that mountain smoking. He wasn't sitting up there going, that mountain was smoking. I'll tell you what, if a mountain's smoking, you think a volcano's got already popped. And Moses goes up there and God says, hey, Moses, I got a job for you. And he said, no, not me. I can't speak, God. No, I can't talk. God said, who made your mouth? Amen. That was the verse God used on me. Amen. I said, Lord, I can't preach. I can't even talk right. I said, man, I come out of D.C. I never was. I can't even talk right. I said, God, you can't use. He said, who made your mouth? And Moses goes up there, man, and God says, he's getting ready to leave. He says, but God, who should I tell him to send me? He said, you tell him, I am that I am sent. Amen. I am that I am. Amen. And God sends Moses down there, and God does all these miracles, uses that man. And here they are thrown in his face. A man that got, that helped them, delivered them from slavery. Man, you think you would think somebody that was in slavery for 400 years, their generation, you say, hey, what'd your father do for a living? Well, he was a slave. What'd your father do for a living? He was a slave. What'd your father do for a living? He was a slave. The Egyptians enslaved the Jews.
Right.
There was slavery going on. There's slavery going on right now.
Right.
Some people are enslaved to bars.
Right.
You know, cheers. You know, where everybody knows your name. Yeah, even the devil knows it. Amen. I mean, people are enslaved right now. There's people around the world that's enslaved.
Right.
Look at what the Bible says. It says in chapter 14. This is not the message. We're going to get to the message in a minute, Lord willing. It says in verse 14, chapter 14, and they said one to another, let us make a captain. Here's what they want to do. Let us return into Egypt. My God, man. My Lord, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I can't imagine telling my wife, honey, I tell you what. Even though God did all these things for us, I'm just going to quit. We're going to go back to drugging, drinking. We're going to go back fornicating, living around like we were sleeping around like we used to. We're just going to go back living like hell. I mean, let's get somebody together. Let's get some more people to go with us. Come on, let's go with us. Let's go back to the world. Let's go back to the bars. Let's go back to the drugs. Let's go back to living like hell. Let's go back to it. Let's go back.
Sure.
I hope my wife would say, you stupid fool.
Amen.
Go by yourself. Man, can you imagine that? Why is it that God delivers people and they want to go back?
Amen. You're right.
When the trouble comes.
Amen.
It's always when the trouble, when everything's going good, brother. You know, I've seen Christians, they'll serve God, shout, praise God while the service is going good. Everything's going good in their life. They got money in the bank. Everything going good. Now, you better be careful, my friend.
Amen.
You better be careful. When things start going good, you got money in the bank, that's the time you say, well, God, say, hey, God. Hey, well, why don't you just go in here for a little bit? I don't need you no more. Just take a hike.
Yeah.
There's the door. You better look out, man. So well, I don't even know why I'm preaching this morning. I don't know why. Maybe there's somebody getting ready to go back. Maybe there's somebody heading back down to Egypt.
Yeah.
You know what Egypt in the Bible is? The type of the world.
Amen.
Maybe you're getting ready to go back to Egypt. Maybe you're getting ready to say, well, I'm just going to forget this whole Christian thing and trying to live right. I mean, trying to live for God. This thing kind of gets kind of hard at times. I'm going to tell you something. It will get hard. Especially when you got a bunch of idiots around you, like these 10 spies saying, well, we can't do it. We just can't do it.
Yeah.
You always got people saying, we guys can't do it. I just can't do it. No way. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Shut up.
Hey.
Shut up. If you ain't got nothing good to say, shut up.
Amen.
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 That's good preaching, brother. Amen. Shut up.
Amen.
They said it couldn't be done. You know what a Christian does? A Christian believes the unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it, things that happen in the Bible.
Right.
Unbelievable things. I mean, a Christian sees the unsearchable. You see those things. You see what God said. I tell you what, if I sat around, we talked about writing a book. If I sat around and talked about all the different things we've seen, the things happening in church and things that we have in our lives, I'm going to tell you what, man, that's something else. My wife started a book and she lost it. She don't know where it's at now, but she started back. But I tell you what, a Christian sees and believes the unbelievable. You think about some things in the Bible that were unbelievable that happened. I mean, you think about Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel gets cast in the lion's den. You say, that's unbelievable. And he gets in the lions. God, the Bible says God shut the mouths of the lions. And they didn't eat Daniel. And Daniel, the king, came to the pit and said, oh, Daniel. He's already, I mean, the Bible says he couldn't even sleep that night. He was up fasting all night. And he said, oh, Daniel, has your God delivered thee? And Daniel said, oh, king, he's lived forever. Everything's fine. The lions had lockjaw down there in the pit. You know the men that accused Daniel? The lions, God loosened their jaws, and as soon as the men that accused Daniel, he threw them in the pit. The lions, the Bible says, broke their bones before they even hit bottom. My Lord, brother. The Christian believes the unbelievable. You say, man, that's unbelievable what God's done and what he's done in our own lives. We see the unsearchable. We attempt at the impossible in our lives. The impossible. I mean, people say, how in the world can God do that? We say, our God's able. Take your Bible, look over and look in 1 John. Look in 1 John. God's able to deliver. Amen? Our God's able. If you find yourself whining, Why? Woe is me. Woe is me. Man, just say, God, forgive me. You say, is that a sin? I believe all my heart is sin. God, forgive me for saying such things, for thinking such things. I ride down the road sometimes. I think, God, what's the matter with me? What is the matter with me? God, help me to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, right now, you're sitting here, you're saved, you're God's child. You say, I don't feel like it. Well, you are. I was talking about the tabernacle this morning. And they carried that tabernacle through the wilderness. On the outside, it didn't look that great. But on the inside, it was something different. On the inside. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You're the son of God right now. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's impossible. You say, that's impossible. I'm God's son. You're God's son. You're God's child. Yes, sir. If you called upon him, you're his child. And the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not after you die, not after you're dead, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the son of God. And doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look what the Bible says. And he and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. I mean, he knows it. He knows it. Man, he knows that he's a God's child. That's impossible. You said the world says, that's impossible. You can be a God's child. That's impossible. You know what Jesus told the Pharisees? They thought they were God's children. And he said, you're of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. I mean, here he told the religious, clean-looking crowd, the crowd that thought they were something on this planet, he said, you're of the father of the devil and the lust of your father, will you do? I mean, a Christian man sees the unseeable. I mean, they see the unseeable and believe the unbelievable and attempt the impossible. I mean, man, God, when God saved us, God gave us a reason to live. He gave us something that we got, man, that the world could not give. I mean, the world, what, can the world give you real peace? Can the world give you real love? The world can't give you real peace. The world can't give you real love. I mean, the Father loves us. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, the world can't give you that kind of love. I mean, right after I got saved, I'll never forget, I felt God's presence in my life. I mean, I remember walking down the road, and I was backslid. I remember walking down the road, and I felt God's presence. I felt him dealing with me. I wept. I was raised that you don't cry. You never cry. My father would beat us with a rubber hose, and I didn't want to cry. And he would beat us and beat us and put whelps across my neck, across my back, across my face, and everything else. And I got so hard. But, man, after I got saved, woo, God turned the fountain on, man. What, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I mean, the world says that's unbelievable. That's unreal. How can a man be changed like that? How can a man that be saved? How can a man know for sure he's going to heaven? Look in John chapter 3. Look in John chapter 3. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Look what the Bible says. Here's a religious man that came to Jesus by night. And man, he asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? I mean, religion can't do this. I tell people all the time. They say, you're very religious. I said, no, I'm not. Amen. I'm not religious at all. Matter of fact, I don't even like religion. But God saved me. God changed me. The children of Israel, man, they came out of Egypt. God did all the great miracles. And they said, well, let's go back. Let's make a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. I look at that sometimes. I go, my God, how in the world could they even attempt such a thing? How in the world? I look at Christians that turn their back on God. I know it's in us. I know that. I don't think I'm above that. I don't think I'm live on a higher plane. No, I know all flesh is grass. I know we're all on the sight of God. But I'm telling you what, now that I'm God's child, I got a father that loves me, that cares about me, that I can call on. He can deliver me. I mean, he says, you're the more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can go through whatever you go through in this life because of Jesus Christ. My sister April is going through cancer. I mean, she went through burying a child. And others sitting in this room, buried husbands, buried wives, buried children. God, whatever you're going through, you're more than conquerors through him that loved you. Amen. And one day, like Brother John, I got a text this morning from Brother Tim Black, texts me every Sunday morning. He texts me every Sunday morning and says, I love you, Pastor. He says, I'm praying for you. And I get texts from preachers, and they say, I love you, Pastor. Mike Payton just took a church in Mississippi. He took a church of 200 people. He sent me pictures, the whole deal. He got a big old church. What a blessing. You say, jealous? No, I praise God for it. I'm praying for him. The Lord would bless him. But I get these texts from these guys saying, I'm praying for you. I said, I appreciate that, but I'm praying for you too. I love you. I want to see him succeed. God wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you be successful as a Christian. I'm not saying money. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about overcoming things in your life that will try to hinder you. The Bible talks about the devil sending snares out there, try to destroy and try to stop you. But Nicodemus came to a place he couldn't comprehend it. And they said back in Numbers, those 10 spies said, it can't be done. No way possible. No way we can conquer it. And here Jesus Christ shows up, and Nicodemus is one of those guys. He comes up, and look what the Bible says in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, you want to see the kingdom of God? And we're talking about the kingdom of God this morning. We're talking about that in Sunday school. The Bible says the kingdom of God is inside you. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? I mean, the world says, that no way possible. No way. How can a man, if he's old man, how can that old man be born again? How can that happen? Nicodemus said, he said this, how can a man be born when he's old? Verse 4. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Every time a Church of Christ or a Presbyterian or something like that, they see water, they think that's the baptism. That's not baptism, folks. You say, how do you know that? Because the next verse explains it. He says, how can a man be born except a man be born of water and of the Spirit? You're born in a water bag. You're in your mother's womb, and you're in a water bag. Whenever that water breaks, look out, baby's coming. And that water breaks. And the Bible says, it says, and that which is born of the flesh, that's how you know it's that water is of the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto ye, must be born again. See, Jesus said to a man, they said, the world says, that's impossible. There ain't no way that we can do that. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're here this morning, you're not saved. I'm going to tell you something. What the world says is impossible is possible with God.
Yep. Amen.
The religion, they think, well, here's what they think. The world teaches, if you live all your life, you do the best you can, and you give money to the poor, you give money to this need, and you give money to that need, and then God's going to outweigh your good and your bad, and hopefully you'll tip the scales in your favor, and you get to go to heaven. That's what the world, that's a gamble. When you tell somebody, say, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven without a doubt, they'll say, that's pretty bold, that's pretty arrogant for you to say such a thing. That's the way the world looks at it. To the world, that's impossible. Ain't no way we can do that. That's what those spies said. No way. We can't go in. No way possible. God says it's possible. I'm sitting here this morning or standing here this morning preaching to you. I know my name's written in the book of life. If you're saved, your name's written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven, and you're already on the roll. The Bible says you're already seated in heavenly places. He said, how in the world can that be? That's almost impossible. God says all things are possible. Here you are sitting here this morning. Why do I have to worry? Why do I have to? I'm upset that Brother Dave passed away. I'm upset Brother John passed away. My half-brother's getting ready to die. I'm upset, but I'm glad they're saved. I know this is not the end. If a person's not saved, I'll never see him again. I've preached funerals where the father was sitting on the front row, and I've said this, their baby died. And I said, Daddy, if you don't get saved, you'll never see that baby again. I've said that at funerals. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not saved this morning, you better get saved. Amen. I mean, the world says, no way possible. No way. Those spies said, man, no way. Well, let's get a captain. Let's go back to the world. I'm going to tell you something, man. We have a purpose in life. We have a reason to live. I hear every day people killing themselves. Every day, killing themselves. Movie stars killing themselves. I mean, rich, just go YouTube, do on YouTube and say, how many celebrities kill themselves? You'd be surprised. They got all the money. They got all the power. They got. See, what happens, the devil says, if you just get this money, you get this and you get that, you'll be happy. You get that right guy in your life, you'll be happy. You know, you'll be happy for a little while, because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But man, I'm telling you what, I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about forever. The world says it's impossible to know you're going to heaven when you die. That's impossible. Bible says you can. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, what's flesh is flesh, what's spirit is spirit. And marvel not, said, unto thee, you must be born again. The world looks at that like you're crazy. I mean, here these children of Israel came out of Egypt, and all they knew was Egypt. They knew Egypt was their what fed them. Egypt is what took care of them, but Egypt is what enslaved them. Folks, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I remember one time I had a boss over in Washington, D.C., Wagner Roofing Company. He came in. I had Philip Hess. I had Dwayne Mitchell. And I had Samson. And I think, I don't know who else I had, Mike Morseberger, Eddie Prophet. And the boss, he's a millionaire. He called us in his office. And I wanted to leave. Every time he knew I wanted to get out of Washington, D.C. around 3:30, 4 o'clock, he would call me up and say, Alan, I need to see you in the office. And I go in the office. He said, bring all your men in. I brought all the guys from the church. And he said, bring all your men in. So I brought all the guys. They gave us a car. We drove back and forth. They paid for our gas, everything. And I remember I went in the office, and he sat back. He was feeling pretty good. He was multimillionaire. He lived right near the Washington Capitol, or actually not, no, near the White House. He lived in Northwest. And he built a house. He bought a house for $500,000, old rundown place. And he put over $750,000 in the house to fix it up. And I went over to his house one day. He was showing me all the things he did. And I went in there, and I said, this is nice. His name is Chuck Wagner. I said, this is nice, Chuck. He said, what do you think about it? And I said, it's nice. I said, so you're building to heaven. You ain't going to heaven, so you're building to heaven on the way to heaven, huh? Trying to get to heaven. And he goes, yeah, and it's hell doing it too. I said, that's profound. So he calls us all in the office, and he says, what's your plans for life? I told him this. I said, it's not here. This job is not the plan. And he didn't want to talk to me no more. So he looked around everyone, and he asked Dwayne Mitchell, he said, what are your plans? He said, I'm going to go to college. He asked Samson, he said, Samson, I'm going to go to Bible school. He asked Mike Morseberg, I think, and Mike says, well, I just want to do better for my family. And then he got to Philip Hess, and Philip Hess, he always kind of bounced around like this, and he's standing there like this, and he goes, and he said to Philip, he said, what's your plans in life? He said, make you a millionaire. Here the guy was already, we all fell out laughing. We laughed so hard. And Philip kind of about to make you a millionaire. And we said, he's already a millionaire, Philip. But he loved to hear that. The world, you know, they want you to dedicate them, your life to them. They want everything they can get out of you. But I'm going to tell you something, Jesus Christ is worth everything in your life. I mean, the world says, it can't be done. It can't be done. You can't serve God. You can't be in this world and serve God. You can't be a child of God. You can't know for sure you're going to heaven. You can't know those things. And the Bible says you can. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, man, we believe the unbelievable to the world. But to God, that's nothing. I mean, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible says God's going to give you a brand new body. How many of y'all glad to get a new body? Amen. How many of y'all hurting right now? Wow, we're going to have a brand new body. My brother John, he could barely walk. He was in a wheelchair. You know what? His wife and I was talking. She said, he's running all over the streets of gold now. Amen. Running. He doesn't hurt no more. He don't need no pills. He don't need no drugs. I mean, the world looks at you as you're crazy. The world looks at us as crazy people that believe a book. And you know what? And you ask them, what do you believe? You know what they do? They believe in evolution. Yeah. Well, how stupid is that? If evolution was right, then we should be getting better. Everything in the world ought to be getting better, right? Guess what? It ain't. You know what happens in the world? Things wind down.
That's right.
They never get better. When's the last time you seen an amoeba turn into a monkey?
Yeah.
And a monkey turn into a man?
Yeah.
When's the last time you seen it? It should be happening, right?
Yeah.
If evolution's right.
Sure.
It should be going on. I mean, they say you came from a monkey. They say we came from animals. And the way the world's getting is almost, you know, almost believable.
Yeah.
It's almost the way people act. But it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe this book. And they'll say, you're crazy. I've run into people all the time. They say they're atheists. All you got to do is listen to them. You listen to them. They say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Okay. You get around them a little bit, and before long, they'll be saying, God blanked this and God blanked that. So what did you do that for? Why'd you ask God to damn this? Why'd you ask God to damn that? He says, just a phrase. No, because the Bible says men swear by the highest authority, and the highest authority is God. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. You can't get around it. It's above. God's above you. God's below you. He's all around you. You ain't going to get away with it. The children of Israel, they said, the 10 spies said, we can't do it. They sat around and cried, and they wept. When the Bible says, God says, you're able. Go in. And then the Lord says, that's it. Since you provoked me, you know, the Bible says, I think they provoked him 10 times. They provoked him. Let me ask you something. Are you provoking God? I hope not. I hope you're not provoking the Lord. You're his child. If anybody ought to know God, do you know him? Do you fellowship with him? Is he in your life? Is he a part of your life? Do you ask him anything? Have you prayed? Have you asked God, what should I do with my life? If you're a young person sitting in here this morning, Lord, who should I marry? God, don't let me make a mess. I've had people say, I married so-and-so, and we was all in church, and we went through this and went through that, and that, you know, and then they said, well, I'm just going to go out to the bar and find me one. How stupid is that?
Amen.
Maybe you got ahead of God.
Right.
Was it ever your fault?
Yeah.
Why you blame God for it?
Amen.
The children of Israel, they blame Moses, they blame Aaron, never themselves. My God, man. Luke chapter 14. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Numbers 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron, if a man is the right leader, if you're a husband and you're trying to lead your family, the right kind of leader will fall on his face. Instead of saying, let's get us a captain, let's go back out and live like hell. Let's go back to drinking. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. He'll fall on his face before God and say, Lord, help me. Help me to guide my family. Help me be the example to my family that I should. Help me be a good father, a good grandfather. A good son to you. What we do? We go on Facebook. What do you think? What do you think? I was going to preach on friends this morning. What do you think? Why not ask God? And when you ask God, don't just say ask God and walk away. Ask God and get in the book. Say, Lord, speak to me. Show me. I'm amazed how people, God delivers them. He delivered me from drugs, drinking, all that stuff. And I'm amazed how many people that got saved when I got saved. Same time. They got saved. And they decided, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to go along with this stuff no more. But see, I've been around. I was an old dog. I learned a lot of things. Dr. Burton used to say that. I got that from him. I've been around long enough to see what happens to people. I've watched people. And those guys that got saved around, I got saved, and they turned back, I've watched the results of it. I've watched their families. I seen what happened. I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like Caleb. Let's go forward. Let's go take the land. They might hinder us. They did hinder us. But I'll stay around. If the Lord let me go in, I'll go in and fight too. This life is a fight. That's why the Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God. It's a fight. It's a fight to live for God. What the devil wants you to do is say, I surrender. I give up. Here's my armor. Here's everything I have. You'd be just like what the Jews did with Hitler. Hitler took their guns, put them in a concentration camp, then he took them to a gas chamber. You know what the devil will do to you? Do the same thing. He'll kill you. He'll ruin your life. He'll make you wish for dead. I don't wish to die. I wish to do more. I want to do more.
Yep.
How about it, Christian?
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Help us not to be like these spies that went in, the 10 spies that turned their back.